All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, June 5th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we had a five-game early MLB slate get underway earlier today. Good luck to all of you playing that slate. We have a five-game main slate later this evening. We had golf tee off this morning, and then we have game one of the NBA Finals tonight between the Thunder and the Pacers. So it should be a super fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our Sim Alert channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right. Let's get SaberSim up on the screen. We did have a couple of questions come in prior to the show, so we will start there and just kind of see where we go from there. But we got SaberSim up, and this is the tournament that got underway earlier today. So looks like our first question, we have two questions here, one from TBJ, one from Jorn Vigo. And we'll get these queued up. All right, first question's a fun one. This one's kind of interesting. Any tips for how to set things up when entering a lot, I'll just paraphrase here, a lot of satellites that don't get their contest info auto-populated? Yeah, I do have some tricks and ideas for this one. So it can be pretty tedious, right, if you're entering 20, 30, 40, 50 satellites, right, to, you know, kind of manage all of this like at once. Let's go to, I have an entries file for FanDuel for today. It's not perfect, but it'll be close enough to what we need where I can like kind of demo this. Let me get that entry file in here. All right, so going to bring in this file now. Oops, got to click upload entries. Upload entries, drag and drop that guy. All right, so I just have a file here. We're going to use this. So let's say, right, I upload the contests in the contest tab, and then there's a bunch of blanks here, right? Like, hey, I'm missing a bunch of contests. Okay, what I do personally is I just go and I create one custom contest, and I'll just call it, you know, my satellites. And from my satellites, and then I will set the field lineups. It's going to depend on like what your satellites look like. In my experience, they're typically a little bit smaller. So like low stakes single entry is like probably fine here. And then I would leave payout structure custom. I set this up as just like a 100-man winner-take-all. I think it's usually pretty okay. It makes the math easy, too. Contest size, 100. Percent to first, 100. Percent of entries paid, 1. And then user entries, 1. This is like really, really easy way to set up like a 100-man winner-take-all satellite. And it's generally, you know, if you're playing like a 100-man winner-take-all, I think that, you know, your lineup upside is going to be like very similar if you're playing like, I think they run like five max, $237 or like 237 entrant, right? Like type contest. So I just set up this like custom one. Okay. And then we go into the post build. This is where some of like, you can make your life a lot easier here in the post build. So rather than like going through every contest and like filling out all of the same sim data or doing it all manually, just set up the one. We're going to use the one contest sim for all of our satellites. And then we're going to run some lineups here. So let's just get into the post build. and let's let these lineups finish. Give me 1 second. All right, I'm back. Thank you for that. All right, so we ran our lineups. Now, what I would do is I would go to autofill, okay, and I would close the projection, right? So I'm just straight up in autofill. So here, if you have, we're going to use this type column, okay? I only have one contest right now, but imagine I have like a big list, right? The GBPs are going to be shown, and then the satellites, even though the SIM info isn't there, it typically picks it up that it's like a satellite. Or it'll say custom, okay? So we can basically filter from one of those. So what I would do is I right-click on type. All of your options are going to appear. So like, for instance, let's say I want to do my satellites, right? Okay, I want to run the satellites, or I want to fill the satellites. I would come in here. I would filter for the GPPs. So I would turn off the satellites and the custom. And then I use the mass uncheck here to uncheck all the GPPs. It's just going to uncheck whatever is being shown. And then I go back into type. When I reselect the custom and satellites, those are going to remain checked. Okay. Now, what I would do is I would set the master sort to the satellite ROI. And then it's going to change all of the contests that are currently selected to the satellite ROI. I would save it. And then I would do the opposite. And then, okay, then I come in here, I filter the GPPs off, I filter for the custom in the satellites, and then I unselect all of those with the mass uncheck, come back, select the GPPs, switch it to target contest ROI, and then I can fill all of these. So effectively what I'm doing is I'm filtering my table, and I am saving different batches of contests in autofill at once. So the autofill, when you click save, it will only save for the contests that are checked, and it won't save for the contests that are unchecked. So in my experience, a custom contest sim for all of your satellites, plus the filtering using the type option and the mass uncheck and changing the master sort as needed, is the best way to handle a lot of satellites all at one time. And the only other thing I would do is I would for sure use unique rank for the satellites, because we're using one contest sim. So if you use rank, you're going to get the same top lineup in all of your satellites. So, you know, I always say like, hey, I like to use ROI with rank. Well, I would use ROI with rank for my GPPs. And then for my satellites, I would be switching it over to unique rank since I'm using the one custom contest sim for all of the satellites. But good question there. Obviously, I didn't have like a bunch of entries here. So hopefully this makes a little bit of sense. But let me know if there's any follow-up. Happy to clarify anything with this. But that could be a huge time saver. All right. Hello. Could you go over how to handle multiple builds for the same slate and how to do late swap in that situation? Yesterday I put one contest on one build and all of the rest on a different build. But when I was uploading my entry file to DK, it looked like all of the contests were being updated each time. Okay, good question. So what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to generate your swaps from the contest tab. And you're going to want to only select the contests that you want swapped before you go to do it. So like in the contest tab, when the slate is live, you can late swap from the lineups tab. Okay. You can pop out this lineups tab and there's going to be a late swap button there. Okay. So what I would do is I would come to the contest tab. I would only check the contests that I want to include in that swap. Generate my swap, probably name it, right? Probably do like a rename and let it like, you know, these are my 20 maxes, right? And then I would come back to the contest tab, select. say that again, and then generate a second swap for only those contests. Okay. So like I have swap one, all my 20 maxes, swap two, all my single entries. The contests that you have checked here when you go to generate your swap are mostly going to be controlling that. So try that out. Let me know if it works. It should work as expected. All right. Chris said, you guys ready for tonight? Us SoCal guys are going to win $250K in NBA. I won on Tuesday, 5K on SaberSim lineup, just switched Mauricio for Taylor. That's awesome. So, yeah, you know, there is a lot that you can do. You know, this is like a good point. And we should probably do like a build demo for the NBA showdown for tonight. So thanks for putting me on to that. Let's go to DK. You said the 250K. So that is for sure the flagship here. And, you know, there's just like a lot of like lineup customization stuff that you can do that I don't think a lot of people use, right? And it's okay, like, to have opinions and like, you know, I really like this lineup, but I just kind of want to swap like this one piece or the second piece or whatever it may be. So either way, you know, we got the big flagship 250K to first today. I'm going to go to build one and we'll do like an ultimate demo for this. So we come in here. Let's say we're going to build 5,000 lineups. I'm going to leave minimax salary alone. I'm not going to do with anything filter or rules. And then I'm just going to make the two minimum required changes to projections to unlock the button here. So 45.61, changing it by literally 0.01, like as minor a change as you can make. Sliders are on 0.10. It means we're taking single game sims here. And I'm going to kick this off. Cool. So let's let these showdown lineups run. And let's go over to direct fill. So sim is running, so let's let the sim run. I don't really want that. That feels pretty good. All right, let's go over to captains. Let's switch to our contest sim. All right. I'm just setting up a couple aggregate metrics, projection, ROI, salary. I'm surprised you can't see them. All right, that's fine. So we can see everything here. It's like a super long contest name. So it's throwing us off a little bit. But let's say I'm just entering, you know, 20 lineups in the flagship here. And, you know, now I kind of want to start analyzing the lineups, right? So first thing I would do is I would set up an ROI greater than zero filter here. We just want to play lineups that do well in the contest sim. More lineups are going to go in the trash and showdowns. That's okay. You know, we're really hunting for like that optimal lineup. And, you know, chances are that one optimal lineup is going to win many, many contests, right? So I think it's okay to filter a little bit more aggressively here. So we've gone from a pool of 5,000 down to 767. Okay, seems all right. Can I shrink this a little bit? Maybe like right there. All right. So now, right, we come in here. We start to look at our leverages, right? Well, we don't really have that much leverage on anybody. We have a little bit of leverage on Shai, a little bit on Halliburton, pretty flat. They're otherwise taking some shots on some of these lower owned captains. Seems okay. You know, it's not too much risk, in my opinion. And then we go over to utility. So we are getting a lot of exposure to Aaron Wiggins here, right? Like 46% leverage, nobody else above like 10%. You know, I think that there's two ways to handle that, right? Number one, you could try to use mini uniques, but when it's just like one player standing out, I think it's a little bit easier to just do a max exposure. We're like, okay, you know, I'm fine having leverage on Wiggins. But, you know, he's about like 30% owned. Maybe I just want to be like 60% max, like 2x his ownership. And this will bring my leverage down closer to like 30%. And, you know, I feel a lot more comfortable with this, right? And then we go back, we check our captains. Notice here, right, how Shai comes down a little bit. Halliburton comes up. You know, you could basically assume, like, okay, in order to get to Shy Captain, we have to pay down for Wiggins. So you got to figure out, like, hey, what do I want more, right? Do I want to manage my exposure to Wiggins, or do I want to get to more of those Shy Gilgeous-Alexander captain lineups? Because he was in 45%. Now he came down to 35. And Wiggins, you know, came down. When we pushed Wiggins down, we brought Shy down. So kind of your call there. I think this is okay. You know, we're still pretty even on Shy, and then we're still getting a lot of leverage on Wiggins. So personal call there, but I like this myself. Now, you know, from here, right, feel free to, like, look through lineups. You know, this is the kind of the part we were talking about. Like, hey, you know, I really like this lineup number two, but I really don't want to play, you know, Cason Wallace at his salary, right? Okay, well, like, maybe I come in here and say, hey, I like this lineup, but I want to see what my options are, right? Okay, I get rid of Wallace. And then, you know, maybe I want to play Caruso instead. Like, hey, you know, I like Caruso. I think he's going to play more, going to get some steals, going to get some blocks, right? And then I'm going to save that lineup. And then, you know, you've gone ahead and, like, taking what SaberSim has given you as, like, hey, you know, this is, like, a pretty good lineup. And then added your own little touch, right? Added your own kind of opinions, ball knowing skills, like, whatever it may be, right? And then that is your new lineup. It locks, and then the builder will prioritize that lineup whenever you change this, right? If I set this to one, even though it's the second listed lineup, it's going to say, hey, no, this is our lineup that we're going to use, and it's going to use the locked lineup, right? So it always prioritizes any lineups that you use the lock icon on. So that's a way to, like, customize lineups ahead of the NBA Showdown contest tonight. So good luck to all you guys playing that. Contests will be big, or probably the biggest showdowns of the year or on tonight. I'm, like, pretty positive. So good luck to everybody playing those. All right. That was our demo here for the upcoming NBA Showdown. We talked about it as if we were on the Ultimate subscription. Why don't we go and do an MLB demo for the main slate for later today? This will be our starter demo. And while I do that, let me just check for any more questions rolling in. TBJ said, thanks for the explanation, Andrew. I'll give that a try. Your video said, exactly what I was looking for. Thanks, man. Awesome. Glad you guys, glad those helped out. So really, really happy that that was helpful advice. It's always what I try to do. All right, cool. Cool stuff there. No more questions there, so we're just going to keep rolling with this demo. All right, so let's open up a build. Let's go 500 lineups. Five-game slate. This is considered small slate. You know, I still like bumping min salary just ever so slightly. Even, like, 500 here is fine. I still think using don't use batters against opposing pitchers is good here. I had it turned off for a three-game slate, like, yesterday or day before. I can't remember. But I think five games is fine to have that rule on. Just some, you know, notes in case people don't know, like, when to turn on, when to turn off. Basically, like, the smaller the slate gets, the more weird lineup winning lineups can be. So you kind of want to have, like, less restrictions the smaller and smaller things get. That's why, like, for NBA Showdown, like, hey, anything can happen here. And, you know, let's just, like, leave it wide open. All right. So we come in here and make our two adjustments to projections, 500 lineups. I'm not going to touch the sliders, and I'm going to kick this off. It's probably too wide now. All right. Let's let these 500 lineups run. And just about finished. All right, we're going to cancel the contest sim because we're just going to use Saber Score for this one. Let's sort by exposure. And we just need an average projection aggregate metric. Looks good. Bring this down a little bit. Right there is fine. Cool. So far, so good. And for the Saber score, right, it's going to auto default to small versus large on its own. 2 to 5 games is small, 6 or more games is large. You got to come in here and customize the entrance, right? This is the number of entrants in your contest. If it is a 8,900 entry, okay, then you want to switch to the 1K to 10K, right? If it's smaller, 100 to, if it's 700, right, switch to the 100 to 1K range, right? So that's how you use this here. And then now that I have this set up, right, well, one thing I like to do is scroll to the last lineup in my set, because we got to prioritize the rank a little bit more with Saber score, right? With Saber score, we don't have like a very clear measuring stick of like, oh, a Saber score below this number is is negative ROI, and then a Saber score above is, I'm sorry, I think I said that backwards. Saber score above this Saber score is positive, and then a Saber score below this number is negative, right? We don't really have that like clear marker. So we want to prioritize the rank of our lineups a little bit more. Now, in my experience, if you have like 500 lineups, you run a contest sim, and then you put on an ROI greater than zero filter, it'll usually filter out somewhere between like 30 to 50% of your lineups. So I always tell people, hey, try and stay in the top 25 to 50% of your lineups, because those lineups are more likely to be positive EV. Okay. So that's why we care so much about the rank here. So we want to for sure try and stay in the top like 250, but we still want to manage our risk, right? We see a ton of double digit leverage, 20 to 40% for many, many batters here. So we're going to start cranking up our uniques. We're going to watch our average projection aggregate metric, make sure we're not giving up too much projection trying to get to more players. So we started with 92.6. I think that's a radio station. Can't remember, but might not be a radio station for everybody tuning in. All right. So we're at 6 uniques. We're still at 92.6. That's great. And then all of our leverages going from 20 to 40%. Now our top leverages aren't even 20%, right? We're way more spread out. And then at one unique, we had 67 players in the player pool. At 6, we have 76. Okay. So we're definitely getting more spread out here. We're not sacrificing that much in terms of projections. I think people kind of underestimate, you know, this is like an interesting point. There are like a lot. And when I mean a lot, I probably mean like, you know, depending on how big the slate is, like tens of thousands of good lineups that you can build. So, you know, when we're changing this, right? Okay, yeah, we might be getting away from like what SaberSim is saying some of the top lineups here are, but we're still only, you know, building 500, and there are, you know, tens of thousands of like positive EV lineups that you can build. Like, it is okay to like, you know, go a little bit further down in your pool, right? I don't know. I think it's kind of cool. But anyways, we go up to 7 uniques right now. We finally see our projection kind of drop here, right? It was at 92.6, hovering around there for like a really long time. Now it's down to like 91, right? So we, at this point, we've sacrificed about 1.5 of projection. You know, I'm not really that concerned about it. Notice our leverages have gotten really, really flat, right? I think our top exposure before was like 70%. Now our top exposure is 45%. Our top batter exposure is 25%. And we're up to 82 players in our player pool, right? So we've gotten really diverse here. I think there is a case for staying at 6 if you want to be a little bit, take a little bit stronger stands on the slate, get some batters in 35% of your lineups, have a little bit more leverage on the field. Or if you want to take a little bit of like a flatter approach, a little bit more spread out approach, then you can go up to like 7 uniques and get more spread out, right? I think both of those options are fine. Me personally, right, you're asking me, I would probably go with 6 because I like to be a little bit more aggressive. But, you know, we were talking to my counterpart Jordan, right, he would probably like for sure opt for 7 because that's just his style, right? That's just – and there's no wrong or right answer, right? There's more than one path to victory. There is these are all good lineups, right? Here, right, at 7 uniques, I'm still only at lineup 147. That is the last lineup in my set. So I'm really, really close to like the top 25% of my pool. But then if I go to 6, right, if I go back down, now my last lineup is like 57. I'm in the top like 10% of my pool. So whatever you want to do, right, even if you wanted to try and go like one more, like, hey, well, what does 8 look like? Well, at 8, we actually don't even have enough lineups, unfortunately, right? We have 17 this 17 number is telling us, hey, there are only 17 lineups in this pool that have eight players different from one another. So you kind of got to figure out what one you want to roll with, seven or six here, right? That's like the big decision point. You could go and look at your stacks, right? Okay, well, what do my stacks look like? What do my team stacks look like, right? At six, we're getting a ton of the Cubs. But at seven, you know, Cubs is still top exposure, but they're not as many, and they're also tied with another team. Like, hey, maybe I don't want to be so exposed to the Cubs. Maybe I want to be, you know, a little bit lower. Okay, well, then seven probably makes sense for you, right? What I think's interesting is that we have 50% Cubs stacks, but then when we go to batters, there's no individual Cub hitter in more than 35%. So that tells me we're using a lot of the lineup, right? So I think that's really good. So I would still be comfortable with like the 50% Cubs, because like we're probably using like a lot of players in their lineup. Another thing you could do here, right, is you actually filter and check this, right? Like filter for the Cubs. I like to sort by order, and then I like to see my exposures of the team, right? When there's just like one team that is just like in a really good hitting position, I like to have exposure to the whole lineup, right? So like I would probably come in here and say like, okay, give me at least one lineup with Matt Shaw. You know, I don't love being so exposed to like Horner and McGuire, like 7, 8, 9, and then not having any Shaw, right? I have five lineups with Horner, six with McGuire. Like, why am I completely, you know, fading Matt Shaw? He's a little bit higher salary than McGuire is. I don't know what his positional eligibility looks like. He's a third baseman. Maybe there are like other third basemen that are good. But I want to include him, right? So this is like a personal opinion, right? I'm working this in. Other thing I might do is like, hey, you know, we have five Haps, four Tuckers, seven Armstrongs, but we have one Suzuki. Like the number three hitter is only in one lineup. Feels kind of bad. I might bump him up to like 10%, right? So here what I'm doing is, and then, you know, maybe I want to like cap Armstrong at 30%, right? Like, okay, let's go no batter in more than six lineups, and then use a little bit more Suzuki, a little bit more Shaw. I should have capped McGuire as well. But here, right, I'm not capping the team. I'm saying, hey, you can use more of the team. Like, let SaberSim use the 50%, whatever. But we need to be a little bit better spreading out our exposure to the hitters, right? So then I jump back to team stacks. We saw 45% Cubs. But now, you know, my exposures for the team look a little bit flatter, as opposed to like a little bit more concentrated on certain positions. So now at least everybody's used. I'm still only using Shaw once, but I'm okay with that. And then I have a little bit more Suzuki. So like, this is another way that I think, like, you know, look at your like top stacks exposure wise. If one or two of them is like standing out a lot, spend a little bit of extra time just making sure that, you know, the exposures to that team look the way you want it to. Right. So, that's something else that you can do here, and it can be pretty valuable, you know, to your process. All right. Good stuff there. Did have a question here from Renegade. Can you go over scaling with uniques for different contests? Yeah, for sure. So, you always got to think about uniqueness in terms of lineup to pool ratio, right? If I need five lineups and I have a pool of 500, well, I have a 100-to-1 ratio. For every 100 lineups in my pool, I need one. But if I'm playing 150 lineups and I have a pool of 500, well, now that ratio is a lot closer to like 3-to-1, right? I need to play one lineup out of every three in my pool. So that tells me I'm going to be able to just get to less uniques here, right? So like, for instance, let's change this to one unique. Let's change this to 150 lineups. All right, so at 150, let's try and get to like five. So I can get to five uniques, which is cool. I can't get to six, right? We have 94 lineups. Okay, so six is a no-go. Five is the max, right? Well, when we did the 20 max, eight was no good. Seven was the max, right? So like that kind of shows you that. But then let's go to like three lineups, right? Okay, we change the lineups to three. Well, then I can for sure get to six. What about like nine? right? Okay, I can get to 9. Can I get to 10? And I can... Oh, I can't get to 10 with the exposures that I put, but we'll reset those and the minimums. So I can get to 10 here, right? I can get 3 different lineups with no player being used more than once. So that's kind of like the idea behind scaling uniques, is that for different size, for different contests with different number of entries, you can use different uniques, right? And you could use them more effectively. So what I'm, what I've done in the past is I like came in here and then said like, okay, hey, for 150, how many uniques can I use? For like 20, how many uniques can I use? For 3 max, how many uniques can I use? And what I've come up with is like a kind of a generalization here, like a little bit of like a heuristic where I can scale my uniques based on the contest. So what I'll do is like, I'll figure out what 150 is. Okay. At 150, I can use 5. We said, right. I won't spend the extra time every single time to figure out what number I could use for 20 and what number I could use for 3. I'll instead just assume I can go one more. So for 150, I'll use 5. For my 20 maxes, I'll use 6. For my 3 maxes, I'll use 7, right? And generally, that works out pretty well for me. You know, like we did here, right? It was like 5 for 150. It was 7 for 20, and it was 10 for 3 max. You could do it over and over again, or you could just do like a, you know, fast and dirty, you know, rule of like, I'm just going to go one more for each. So that's the thinking there. That's why it works. And that's just what I've come up with is better in my experience, especially if you're playing a lot of contests. It gets pretty hard to like do them all. Renegade said, got it. That's what I was thinking. All right, cool. Question from Arnold. Arnold said, non-DFS question, in your opinion, what's the outlook like for people studying data analytics / data science with evolution of AI? Good question. You know, I am not a coder by trade, but I've been learning like slowly, you know, how to like write more scripts and stuff in Python. I actually like it personally, because what I've found is like, okay, if you know like 80% of what you're trying to do, you can like give the code to like ChatGPT or, you know, whatever AI service you're using. Like, hey, you know, this is my script. I'm getting caught up here, but this is what I'm trying to do. And then it can help you like to finish your scripts, right? So I think it's still, you know, valuable to learn data analytics and data science. And when you know enough to be able to use AI tools to your benefit, it only helps you to like get to the outcome that you're trying to reach. And then, you know, it still takes knowing enough about it to use the tool to be able to write the code, right? So even if somebody with no coding experience like asks for something, they're not going to be able to like check it and like review it and like see if there's a mistake and like, oh, hey, I meant this, you know, change this or change that. Or like, I've seen like, you know, AI tools like make mistakes in like an Excel worksheet, and you know, they're doing like some index match formula, and luckily like I understand how to write those. I'm like, hey, you know, you messed up this formula here, you know, correct it, right? You still need to be able to do that, have enough knowledge on that topic to correct the AI at times. So I think it's still good to do, still valuable. But yeah, those are my thoughts there. So appreciate you guys tuning in. We are caught up with all the questions here and knocked out 2 slate demos. Good luck to all of you playing DFS tonight, especially those playing the game 1 NBA finals, big contest tonight. But until tomorrow, everybody, I will see you all then. So good luck. Take care. Thanks. Bye.